This is One Oak Church. We exist to share the hope of Jesus. No matter who you are or where you're at in life, you are welcome. Our mission is simple, to bring people that are far from God close to Him. Tune in as Pastor Robbie Emery shares how we change the world by loving God and loving others.
Good morning, One Oak.
Bob.
So good to be here. It's such an honor and a privilege to be here. My name's Arshana, and we are just, I've been dying to get here. I'm that follower. I like everything. I'm always asking and just praying for you guys and just so overwhelmed, really, by this moment. And we're just so excited and know that God is doing amazing things through you and for you. And it's just so awesome to be here. And we love your pastors.
Amen.
I know you do too, but we really love them too. And we're so proud of them and how beautiful they are. And they are beautiful inside and out. And I love the journey that they're on. And we've walked a few of those miles ahead of them, but they are just, they have their own story and their own journey, and it's just amazing to see what God is doing in them and with everyone around. And I just feel the support, I feel the love. I love the vibe here. It's so good. Right when I walked in, I got just loved on, and my hand was shook, and your kids' area is amazing. So you have so much to be proud of, so much. And I loved when we were walking in, we were just seeing just the setup in here. And as I was standing here, and there wasn't anyone in here yet, too many, just maybe a few. And all of a sudden there started coming some chairs. And I'm like, I love that. We're not waiting. We're going to just anticipate. And right. You filled them up. So that's so good. So I just want you to know there is... there's two that are praying for your pastors and for your church and for everything that you're going through. We're in constant communication with your pastors, just how are things going? What do we need to pray for? And just helping, whatever we can do. They encourage us. So just, I'm just grateful for this opportunity, and thank you so much for being so kind. And sorry for the, you know, whatever happens over in the kids department.
Yeah.
It could get loud. No, they're sweet. But we love each and every one of you. I want to meet all of you. We're thankful for our family here, Josh and Courtney. So good to see them involved and just leading so well. And amen. God is good.
Amen.
God is so good.
Amen. That's it. Well, so awesome to see you. You can be seated. And I just concur with Arshana. Just so incredible. Careful, baby.
Yeah, baby.
That last step. So encouraged by everything that we have watched from a distance, and for you to be in this space, approaching your 1 year birthday is so exciting. And we just had to be here before you turn one, because we remember the significance of our first summer. And so everything that Arshana said about Pastor Robbie and Danielle, we just, I agree. And I'm just telling you, there's no one that I would call first before them when, if there was something that I needed. And I call Robbie when I need a sermon thought, when I need an idea, when I need something creative, when I need some encouragement about weightlifting, I call Pastor Robbie, which you can tell I don't call him enough. man, we love them so much and so excited. And just, I want to just encourage you that everything that they see and they share with you in terms of what the future looks like for One Oak, just to go all in and get behind it, because they're not painting a picture of their preferred future based only on what they want in life, but they are painting a picture, a preferred picture, a dream that God has given them for this community and for your lives. So because they're not painting only for their family and they're painting a picture for you, there's good things that will happen when you get involved. So I just want to encourage you to get involved, get behind their vision, stand with them, pray for them, encourage them, high five them. And I know that as you bless God's man for this house and God's lady for this house, as you bless them, your life will be richly blessed. It's a system of honor. We honor up, down, and all around. And when you honor the man of God, God doubly honors you. And so I just want to encourage you in that. And man, you all look so good this morning, especially my man in the second row busting out the same shirt. That's good. Good minds think alike, man. That's good. You look good. I'm not going to keep you long today. I do have a message that I want to share with you. And I like to begin my sermons with a little story to help you kind of get to know me a little bit. So we'll just dive right in. Are you ready? The year was 2012. It was actually our first year of church life in Oak Park. We planted Free Church in September 2012, and we had, just like you guys have a giant trailer to pull all the gear and move the gear in and out, we did that as well. And we had been going for just a few weeks. It was the early part of the fall, and I woke up and went to get in the truck that we used to pull our trailer, and it wouldn't start. The truck would not start, which meant if we didn't have the truck to go get the trailer, we wouldn't have the trailer at the theater, which means we wouldn't have any gear to move into the theater, which means no gear, no church. So we're like, oh man. So I called one of the guys on our team. I was like, the truck won't start. He says, uh-oh. The problem was in Oak Park, you can't park out in front of your house. You can park only like in the alley by your garage or in the garage. You can't park in front of your house. You get a ticket. And so we had parked that truck in the back end right alongside of our garage. So if I lifted the garage door to pull my truck out, the white truck was in the way. So we had to push that truck down the alley to get it out of the way. And then we got into my truck, which is a 2003 Yukon. It has got over 200,000 miles on it, and it is not rated to pull more than 5,000 pounds. The trailer weighs 10,000 pounds, but we didn't have a choice. We're going to have church. And so we put that trailer hitch in there, and we drove over to that trailer, backed up, hooked it up, and I watched as the back of the Yukon went like this. It was almost heavy enough to get the front tires off the ground. I was like, if I had some, we could bounce that trailer all the way, I'd be rolling. But we had to do it. We had no choice. And as we drove down the road, the steering wheel of the truck actually just kind of floated like this because the tires were barely on the road, and we made it. We only had to go 4 miles to get to the theater. We pulled in. We loaded the gear. We had great church. I think it was the best church ever. And the message was incredible, I will tell you that. And then we had to load it all back up and took that thing back. Our truck has never been the same. The shocks on the back, it still floats like a Cadillac now. But that's really the year that I learned that there are certain loads that we're not meant to carry. And there's a reason why a truck that has a 5,000-pound limit isn't able to really move 10,000 pounds. It's because it's not supposed to. So turn to your neighbor and ask this. Ask this. Ask them, are you ready for some weight lifting? And I don't know why you ignored the other person. You ignored the other one. Turn to the one that you just ignored and say this. If you're not capable of carrying it, God won't give it to you. Today, I'm talking about freedom. I'm talking about living in His freedom, in this free life, to be free to live. And I believe that some of you are going to experience some weightlifting today, my kind of weightlifting, not the heavy stuff that we're going to press to get stronger, but the weight lifted off of our shoulders. Be free from the weight that we've been carrying. You know, Galatians 5:1 says this. It says, Christ has set us free to live. Can you see those next two words on the screen? To live a free life. Yeah. So take your stand. Never again let anyone put a harness. That word harness there in the Greek, it literally means a coupling. If you're to dive deeper into it, it's almost like a trailer hitch. Don't have a trailer hitch that will allow things to be connected to you that you're not meant to carry. We're to live a free life, Paul says. Christ has set us free to live a free life. I love what Pastor Robbie and Danielle are doing here at One Oak Church, and this best summer ever. the best summer ever, because I believe church is not just a good idea, it is a God idea. And I love that I'm in a church with you today that you're just not enduring church, but you're enjoying church. Come on, anytime you can get some free merch in church and not be a lurch. I don't know, I don't like to rhyme, but. See, for too long, the church has really become known as a place where there's this long list of things you cannot do. All the things you're not able to do and all the things that you're supposed to be against. And the reality is, in living this free life, we get to recognize that church isn't about what we're not for and what we can't do, but church is about what we are for, this freedom, this life, this love we're called to live. Christ has set us free to live a free life. If I dive in for a minute, this is not in your notes, but Hebrews 12:1, Paul writes this: let us lay aside every weight. Let us lay aside every weight. And then he says, oh, and the sin which easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance, with freedom, the race that is set before us. So I want to talk about those two things. Let's get rid of the weight that we're not supposed to carry. The sin is easy to deal with. The weight that we carry, the consequence, that is something that we've got to really recognize and remove it from our life. And so let's spend on time, because we know the sin's easy to deal with, because the Bible says that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us to all righteousness. So to right standing, we understand that, but let's deal with what slows us down, with that trailer hitch that we connect to things that we're not supposed to be carrying. Let's, the stuff that gets us away from the journey, from where we are to where God wants us, and that slows us down on that journey. Let's spend our time there for a minute today. But before we get there, I just need to, we're gonna build on this little idea for a second. You see, sin is something you do. Sin is something you do. We tell our boys often, the choices you make are yours, and the results are the world that you'll live in. So good. So good. Sin has a consequence. And sin, it has this place in our life. It begins with a thought, and then that thought becomes an act, and then that act becomes a habit, and that habit begins to build a character, and then that character leads to your destiny. It all begins with a thought. And so we have to watch out then, because this is what sin does. Sin divides. Sin divides. So not only is sin something you do, sin actually puts you in a place. It divides. It divides. It separates. It's not just what you do, but it's the place. It divides. Sin divides you. Sin is what separates us from God. We're born into sin, separated from God. Sin separates us from God. Sin separates us from our purpose. We get into the wrong place, and then we're moving away from where we're supposed to be and what we're supposed to be doing. And so sin divides, sin separates, it puts us away from God, it puts us away from our purpose. It actually even removes us away from people. Sin divides, but grace covers. Grace covers. The Bible says that love and grace covers a multitude of sin, but sin also pays a wage. But grace gives a gift. Romans 6:23, for the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So sin is something we do, which leads to guilt. And guilt is something that we feel. So something we do leads to something we feel. And what's so incredible about guilt is when you start to have guilt, you don't even need to be doing anything wrong. The guilt finds its own way into your life. All right. For instance, we're driving here yesterday on 94, the worst highway in the planet of highways. Maybe second only to 75. But we are on 94 and we finally make it through all the construction that seems to be there every year. Indiana can't get done with their construction. I've just decided it's all Indiana's fault. Everything's good in Chicago and Illinois. Everything's great in Michigan. It's Indiana's fault. Hoosiers. Can't live with them, can't live with them. I don't know why that's in there, but just wasn't in my notes. I'm sorry. So we're driving here. The speed limit is 70. I'm driving about 73, 70, maybe 75. You can get five, right? You can get five. So, and I'm not really keeping up with traffic. People are passing me, but I'm driving 75 and I have to pass somebody that's driving 70, the speed limit. And I get in the left lane to pass. As I'm passing an on-ramp, I look up and I see like an SUV that just looks like a normal SUV, but it has like a spotlight on its left, just above its left mirror. And I'm not speeding, I'm just driving the cushion grace of five. I'm in grace right now. But I see that little spotlight and I go, oh no, and I hit my brakes and slow down. Under 70 to 68, because I don't want to be pulled over. But guilt does that, because I've been pulled over before. I'll let you know, I'm going to be honest. I've been pulled over for speeding. And now every time I see an officer, if I'm speeding or not speeding, what do? I slow down. Why? Because of guilt. Guilt reminds me of all of the wrong I've ever done. Guilt reminds me that I don't have it all together. Guilt reminds me that I tend to lean towards, like Paul said, the things I don't want to do, I do, and the things I wish I would do, I don't do. It's just this whole mix-up thing, and guilt reminds me of the terrible state that I'm in.
Wow, so good.
Ezra, or Proverbs, says this, the wicked are edgy with guilt. The older translation of that, the more traditional translation of that verse says, the guilty flee when no man pursues. Why? Because they're guilty. And when you feel that guilt, it's kind of like when you walk in the room and there are twins sitting side by side and there's milk poured all over the floor. And you say, who spilled the milk? And one looks at the guilty one, and the guilty one side eyes his way out of the picture because he knows he did it. Yeah. That is what guilt does. Guilt drives us away. Guilt causes us to cover. Guilt drives us to run when no one is even pursuing. Guilt is something you feel, which leads to shame. And shame is something you carry. Shame is that 10,000 pound trailer that you're not supposed to have attached to your life. Shame is something that you carry. Ezra 9:6 says, oh my God, I am ashamed and embarrassed to lift my face to you. David said, all day long, my dishonor is before me and my humiliation, my shame has overwhelmed me. Shame gets put upon us. Shame gets placed on us as parents. Sometimes when our children don't do what they're supposed to do, and we have four boys in our house, and so it's often that they don't do what they're supposed to do. It's like, it just trickles down. Bam, 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 bam. They all guilty. And we'll say something like this. Parents, we do this a lot. Shame on you. Shame on you. See, what we do doesn't necessarily give us the shame, but it's what is put up on us because of what we've done. I cannot believe you did that. The enemy, the accuser, the father of lies, the Bible calls the enemy of our life, the father of lies. And he accuses us and he'll say to us, I can't believe you ever would do that. And I cannot believe that you are such a terrible person, and just puts all of that shame on you. And you're not meant to carry that shame. And when we carry the shame we're not supposed to carry, shame leads to condemnation. And condemnation is a disqualifier. It's a self-disqualification in our life because we say, because of what we did, and because of what we feel, and because of what we're carrying, we don't belong. We don't even belong in God's house. We don't have a place to go. We say, oh, I can't serve in that capacity because of what I've done. And shame that we carry causes us to disqualify ourselves for the things that God has in store for our life.
Wow, so good.
Here's the thing though. The thing is, God loves you exactly the way you are right now. He didn't love you because of what you would become. He loved you because of who you are. The Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He sent his son in love to pay a price for exactly how we are right now. You don't have to disqualify yourself because God's love qualifies you. You don't have to carry the shame any longer because God's grace provides a way out in that in my weakness, in my lowest point, while I was yet a sinner, I was removed from that condition because of the price that Jesus paid. Look at this promise then. Romans 8:1 says, therefore, there is now no condemnation. So what you did that leads to how you feel, which leads to what you carry, to leads to the condition or the disqualification, it has no place in Christ's love because through Christ, the law of the Spirit who gives life has what? Has set you free. You're free.
Amen.
Our freedom is not found in the law. It is not found in the ritual of religious acts. You're not free because you come to church.
Right.
We named our church Free Church. You're not free if you go to Free Church.
Yeah.
You're free because Christ set us free.
Amen.
Christ set you free. Our freedom is found in him. Romans 8:3 says, for what the law, what tradition, what just going to church, what religion, what the list of rules, all of that was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh. God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. Christ became our shame so we could live in the power of his name. Our freedom is found in Jesus.
Amen.
John 3:17 says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. What a freedom we have. Your feelings are a response to circumstances, but your faith is a response to God's promises. And you don't have to carry that shame any longer.
Amen.
A few more scriptures, and then I want to just close with one story, and then we'll pray. As the scripture says in Romans 10:11, anyone, check this out, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame.
Yeah.
Never be put to shame. Psalm 61:7 says this, instead of shame, you will enjoy double honor. Instead of shame, double honor. You will possess a double portion of prosperity in your land, and everlasting joy will be yours.
Amen.
Grace means that all of your mistakes now serve a purpose instead of serving shame. And this is your freedom. Your freedom is this, that you don't live by what you deserve. You live by what God promises. Not long ago, we sat down with a young man and it just seemed like so many things had come against him. And he sat in front of us and he unpacked a list of things that he had done. And it was a list of things that you would never want to hear about. It was a list of things that you would say, it's not possible. And then he began to unpack all of the ways that he felt. Words like, I wanted to tell you. But I didn't know how. Words like, I knew I wasn't going on the right path, but I didn't know how to get out of it. And then, as he talked about the weight that he had been carrying. This weight that just didn't seem to let him go, didn't seem to relent in how heavy it was. And then he began to say, I guess I could just remove myself from situations and remove myself from places that I really love to be, but it's just because of all of the stuff I've done and I feel and I carry in it. So I'll just step back. And as we sat across from him and expressed our love and reminded him again and again of God's love. And when we finished and we embraced and we hugged and we just rededicated together our lives to the Lord, he stood up and his words, I can hear him say it as he said it that first time. It's like a weight has been lifted off of my shoulders. And where there was once this turmoil and distress, a smile appeared on his face and an expression of love that just only can be known through God's grace. Not living in the punishment of what he deserved, but experiencing the grace of God's promise. Ephesians 1:7 says this, because of the sacrifice of the Messiah and his blood poured out on the altar of a cross, we are free people, free from the penalties and the punishments of our misdeeds, and not just barely free, but abundantly free. You do not have to carry that weight any longer. You're the best you that God ever made. You have a purpose that only you can fulfill. Let no one, let no thing, let no trailer hitch attach a weight to you that you're not meant to carry. Will you bow your heads? I want to pray for you. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Lord, we just thank you. Because right now, we feel some weightlifting taking place. God, that when you look at us, you don't see us for what we've done. You see us through the blood of Jesus Christ that was poured out on an altar for our lives. And so, Lord, we just say thank you for that gift of salvation you've given us. And Lord, I ask you right now just to remove the feelings of guilt that the enemy points at us and tells lies about us. Because you promised that when we come to you, that you would place our sin as far as the east is from the west, and we can't even measure that. It is so far gone and removed from our life. So we don't have to carry that any longer. The guilt can be gone. Lord, I'm asking the shame to be lifted off of our shoulders. We're willing, God, to let go of our past so that we can reach for the future. And God, we just say, thank you that in you there is no condemnation for those that love Christ, and that we step into the role and the purpose you have designed us for, and that we will not disqualify ourselves any longer based on what we've done, but we will recognize our qualification comes, Lord, only by what you've done in paying the price for us. We're so thankful. If you keep your eyes closed, your heads bowed for a minute, I'm going to ask two questions. My first question is, if you're carrying a guilt and shame that you're not meant to carry any longer, you say, Pastor Chuck, today I'm feeling that weight lifted off of my shoulder. I'm going to let go of my past to reach for my future. Would you just raise your hand, because we want to celebrate that with you. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for those hands all over the room. You can put those hands down. If you would say, Pastor Chuck, I need to take a step today. I need to deal with the sin in my life. Not just what I've done, but the place I'm at. I'm far from God. I'm going to let you know, if you feel far from God, I want you to know God is not far from you. We sang the name of Jesus. We sang all about the name of, when you mention the name of Jesus, the Bible says, when you call on his name, he's there. Romans 10 tells us that if we believe in our heart that Christ died on a cross for our sins, and if we make that confession with our mouth, that we'll be saved. And if you're sitting in this room today, you've sat there through the service, the wonderful worship and the incredible moments to celebrate and connect. You say, Pastor Chuck, I don't want to be far from God anymore. I don't want what I've done to leave me in a place where I don't belong, but I want to step into where I do belong, and that's in this wonderful family, in God's family. You say, Pastor Chuck, today I want to make a confession for the first time, or the first time in a long time. I want to confess my belief in Jesus. I want to repent of my sin and turn and walk a new direction. If that's you, I just want you to raise your hand real quickly. Thank you for that hand. 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 Church family, let's pray this prayer together. It's just a sign that we're all in this journey together, from where we are to where God wants us. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for paying a price I could not pay to give me a gift I do not deserve. I love you. I believe in you. I believe in the cost. I believe in the cross. I believe that you died for me. I turn around. I follow you. I call you Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, everybody, let's celebrate that together.